back in the 60s and 70s of the last century. Now I can say that now. Last century. In the 60s and the 70s, there was a popular idea. It was actually a popular imperative. And that was, and you probably saw this on bumper stickers, question authority. Do you remember that? Do you remember seeing that on bumper stickers? Well, it was a big thing in the, I guess you'd say, the new morality thing back in the 60s and 70s. It was about the time the hippie movement formed. Question authority. And at that same time, and probably long before that, and it's been even since that time, Job, the book of Job from the Bible, was a favorite of literary and academic philosophical types of people. They liked the book of Job because in the book of Job there was a human theological response to human suffering that was sort of predictable, and maybe in a way it was a proper response, and it seems to be to question God. So that fit right into that philosophical. But Job, as Job discovered, questioning God, questioning God, the Creator, isn't that helpful if you don't know the right questions? And many times we don't know what are the right questions to ask Him. But on the other hand, God does know the right questions to ask us because He's our Creator. And this text that I'm going to read from is not something I'm going to talk about the whole book of Job. We went over the book of Job some years ago. But this is Job 38:3. Just one verse. And this was after Job had been contending with God, asking God a lot of questions. And now God shows up. And here's what He said. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. This message is going to start a series of sermons or a series of messages about questions that God has. And so in fact, I've entitled this, God Has Some Questions. God has some questions for us. And God's questions aren't for His benefit. They're for our benefit. Because what God asks us about, what God is asking us about is exactly what we need to learn. What God is questioning us about is the area that we need to learn about. Now this verse starts out, brace yourself. You know, controversy with God, like Job was doing, controversy with God is not for cowards. And God realizes that, and He says to Job, brace yourself like a man. You want to talk, you want to have a controversy, you want to contend with me, you want to contend with your maker, brace yourself like a man. And it's interesting, like a man, God never treats people as less than human. God never does that. Humans treat each other as less than human, but God never does. God never treats us as less than human. Like a man, He says. You know, part of our God-given self-understanding is this thing called responsibility. That's part of our God-given understanding. It's been part of our God-given understanding down through history. It's not new. It's something that philosophers have written about. Even though they haven't acknowledged God, they've acknowledged that we have this inner sense of responsibility. And part of human social expectation, what society expects, is accountability. It's not just responsibility, but to be responsible, to be accountable to society, to someone higher, a higher authority. Both those things, responsibility and accountability, are the foundation for spirituality. You see, spirituality is to a communicating relationship with God. It is a relationship where humans and God are in communication. That's what spirituality is. That's what fellowship with God is. And it has a lot to do with our ability to respond to Him. Respondability. Responsibility. That's where that word comes from. So communication. A communicating relationship with God. Now our first responsibility is to evaluate God properly. And that's why God says here, brace yourself. Brace yourself. You're up against something here. In fact, those Hebrew words, brace yourself, are military terms. They're military terms. It's like God is saying, okay, we're going to wrestle then, are we? Watch out that you don't get hurt. I won't get hurt. But watch out that you don't get hurt. And this is God's attitude. You know, God is concerned. He cares about our vulnerability as sinners. Do you know that? God is concerned that we could get hurt in this process. This is a very, very important characteristic of God. He's concerned about that. He doesn't want us to get hurt. Especially if we choose to wrestle with Him and contend with Him and have a controversy with Him. Now, Moses was asking God, I want to see you. And God hesitated, really. But he said, okay. And here's how he answered to Moses when he asked to see God. Because this is God's attitude. He wants to protect our vulnerability as sinners from His holiness as God. Here's what he says. And the Lord said to Moses, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. I'm just embarrassed. I don't want to show my face off. No. God did not want to hurt the sinner called Moses. He wanted to protect him. And God says, if you're going to wrestle with God, if you're going to have a controversy and ask God questions, brace yourself like a man. Another literal translation of these words, brace yourself, is gird up your loins. Get properly dressed for this. And we are supposed to dress properly for the occasion. We are supposed to. This is a very important occasion. Taking God seriously. Taking God's presence seriously. Why do we come to church and we sort of dress up? Well, we should, I think. Out of respect, right? At least, that's how I was raised. Now, there might be an understanding, I want to be comfortable in God's presence. Well, yeah, maybe that's for your devotional time. But what, when you come together, shouldn't you be honoring? When they have that ceremony, just honoring the president, they dressed up, right? Well, honoring God, we should wear our best. And gird up yourself, the Lord says here. Take God seriously. Especially if He's coming for a visit with some questions for us. We better brace ourselves. We better gird up ourselves. God doesn't mind us asking some questions. And you know, I have to say that most people who don't really have a relationship with God, and you talk to them about a relationship with God, what are they the first thing that they start doing? Well, I have some questions for God. If this and if that and so on, and they have all these questions. But they haven't braced themselves, and they don't know that they could get hurt. And you know what? If God did show up, would they even be able to stutter out some of those questions in His presence? Well, God doesn't mind us asking some questions as long as they are legitimate questions and as long as they are not just to create a smokescreen for us to hide behind. And that's what I think a lot of people do. They ask questions so that they won't have to get involved. Well, see, I don't think God has an answer for that, and so I don't have to be involved with Him. And those kind of questions distance us from God rather than to draw us near to God. But, on the other hand, God has the good, right questions for us. He has some good and right questions for us. That's because What God wants to ask us about is really what we need to learn. Is really what we need to learn about. His questions help us to understand ourselves and to understand our relationship with Him in a proper way. And this text tells us something else and reminds us that God always gets to ask first. God always gets to go first. Why? Well, because He is first. You know, and it's proper that the person of honor should go first, and He's the one that created everything. And here's what He says. He says, I will question you first. You've been questioning me, but wait a minute. I will question you. And God very wisely brushes aside Job's questions. And God very wisely brushes aside our smokescreen questions that all we really want to do is to have a reason why we don't need to be in a relationship with God. That's how some questions are asked. If only I had that answer. You answer that question, they'll have another. You answer that question, they'll have another. Until finally all the questions are answered, they say, okay, now what? Why don't you go to God? Well, no, I just don't believe that way. It's not the proper question. God knows what the right questions are. Our questions actually distract us from the main issue. And the main issue is trusting God, faith in God, faith in Him. That's what God is after. He's after faith. He's after us to trust Him. How could the virgin birth really happen? Why do good people suffer? I don't understand the Trinity. Can you explain that? What about those who never heard the gospel and they died without hearing it? Those are all good questions. I would say some of these questions are like back burner questions in my life. I have them in the back burner of my life. But God knows that those questions will not help us if we haven't got other questions answered first. And those are His questions. You see, God's questions come from the best viewpoint. His questions, we have a very limited viewpoint to ask our questions from. God's questions are coming from an accurate viewpoint. You see, God has the Creator's viewpoint. He started it all. He knows what this world, this universe is about. And so the questions He asks us have the right perspective, have the right viewpoint. Nothing comes as a surprise about us. You know, nothing. To Him, there's no surprises. He understands. Nothing that we can ask Him or nothing that we ever do can come as a surprise to God. He understands. So He asks the right question. And then another perspective He has, which makes it a great perspective, is that He's a lover. His is a lover's perspective. Probably behind every question, you can see this point that God is wondering, how can the answer to this bring us closer together, bring that person and me closer together, have the human race and me closer together? That's probably what's behind it, because He loves us and He asks these questions out of love. And He has the best motive. He has the best motive for asking the questions, that is love. Now, it can be tough love at times, and it mostly is tough love, because the questions that are necessary questions for us to answer are embarrassing many times. In the hospital, we ask questions to people that sometimes are tough questions. They are tough love type of questions. We really have to know that, in order to help them, we really have to know the answers to those questions. And maybe in asking that question, it helps to raise their level of concern about their health. And in my department, especially, the questions that we have to ask people are sexual questions. And they're very intimate set questions, and they can be very embarrassing. But they are extremely important questions relating to the birth of these babies that they're carrying. And we need to know the answers to those questions. And maybe in asking those questions, it also raises their level of understanding about their activities and the safety for their baby. Well, God have questions that he asks us that are rooted in love. But many times, our questions, the ones that we ask God, in contrast, these questions that we have are really directed towards knowledge. Almost, we could say, curiosity. And just remember the forbidden fruit. What was it? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That knowledge of good and evil, knowledge of the facts, can never be the criteria for a relationship building. It's just not it. It has to be something more than that. It has to be communication. It has to be love and caring. It has to be concern. It's not just knowing things in your head. That many times those questions that we ask are those kinds of questions. God, on the other end, asks relational questions. And it's interesting. That question can start relationships. They do. Questions can start relationships. In fact, pardon me, but may I ask you what time it is? Have you heard that before? Thousands of times, haven't you? Thousands of times. Why is there a pardon me there? Excuse me, can I ask you what time it is? Did you know you're asking for a relationship to be established? You're asking that person to leave just their own bubble and actually communicate with you and give you information. And in a small, minute measure, establish a short-term relationship. Now, have you ever asked the time of someone, and the person, after they get the time, says, oh, I'm just really in a hurry. You know what happened to me? And then all of a sudden, you have a story. And now your relationship grows. Isn't that amazing? But what about this? What about this question? It implies a response. And so it can establish a communicating relationship. But what if the person says, I wouldn't even give that person the time of day? If they ask for the time, they're not even going to give them the time of day. What does that say? I don't want a relationship with that person. I refuse to have. Now, God, our maker, our moral governor, our judge, he vetoes that answer. I don't have time today to get done. He vetoes that answer. You will answer. You shall answer me. You shall answer me is the last verse there. You shall answer me. Well, now? Maybe not now, but you will. You will answer. Maybe in the hereafter. It's your choice. It's the choice when God makes that question, you shall answer me. Well, I'm not going to. You will. And you should choose now. And we need to choose now. We don't want to put God's questions off. We need to choose now because we know that the motivation behind God's questions is our benefit, to help us to learn about ourselves and about our relationship with Him. It's because God is seeking a relationship. And it's also because God will enable us to give the right answer. You shall answer me. You know, this is not just an imperative. This is an invitation. And it's also a promise. It's a promise. You shall be able to answer me. You shall answer me. God uses questions because He is a good teacher. You know, one aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry is that He is a teacher. And I don't know if you remember, being in school, how many times a good teacher knew the right questions, the good questions to ask. A good teacher always asked you the questions. Now, why was that? I always wonder, why don't they just tell me the answers? No. One teacher that I had said, my job is not to teach you. My job is to facilitate your education. You're going to educate yourself. And why God picks the best questions to ask us, and why good teachers ask good questions, is to get students to think. That is so important. We are not machines. Just to feed robots that get the information in and get the information out. That's not what a good teacher will do. It'll get you to think. A good teacher asks good questions to show the students where to focus their study time. And where is God trying to get us to focus our study time? On His Word, right? And His questions relate to that. And it's also to help students to own the curriculum, to own it for themselves. In other words, it's not when you come to the test, you don't want to spit out information. You want to know the information because you've adopted it into your experience. And that is the best kinds of teachers that ask those kinds of questions that get that to happen. And why that God asks the right questions is that He wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed. God doesn't ask us about temporal issues, things that are flighty or things that just come and go. He asks us about the ultimate questions of life. He asks about the ultimate things that are forever kind of questions. And He wants to direct us to everlasting success. Matthew chapter 6:33 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "But seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you or be given to you as well." Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Those are the areas of God's questions to us, so that we will be focused on success that will outlast these other things. Oh, God will give these other things as well. He's a gracious, providential God. But He really wants our lives to focus on the important issues. Bob Beale is or at least he was, I don't know what he's doing now because he's been so caught up in Christian work, but Bob Beale was or is a corporate consultant. He makes big bucks helping executives to ask the right questions that will help them to solve the problems of their business and their management problems. Okay? And he is very good. In fact, he's written the 100 questions that Christians in ministry need to ask themselves, or the 100 questions that people who are growing in Christ need to ask themselves. Very, very good. Well, that's sort of like what God is doing. He has picked the right questions to ask us so that we will be successful and solve our problems, have a successful Christian life. And it's our personal answer that He's after. God wants us to give a personal answer. He doesn't want us to give a rote answer. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to focus. And He wants us to answer. And if we don't have the right answer, then He wants to help us get the right answer. What kind of a better inquisitor can you have than God, who loves us and wants us to succeed? Well, why does God ask so many questions in the Scriptures all through the Bible when He already knows the answers? Because that's not the point. He doesn't need to know the answers, but He does need to hear our personal response. Someday God will ask everyone this question. He will say, "What did you do with the life that I gave you on the earth? What did you do with the life that I gave you on the earth?" That will be a future question that God will ask every person. But today, He is looking for the answer to the question, "What are you doing with the life that I've given you?" That's what God's question is to us right now. Do you see how practical it is? Do you see how urgent it is? It is a question that will benefit us. God knows what the answer is, but He asks the question so that we will have the right response and be responsible. And He will help us to focus not on just the right information, but how the answering of that question, focusing on the right questions in life, will help us to get the right answers and help us to get the right relationship. Not only the response, but the relationship of responsibility. Lord God, thank You for asking. Thank You for asking. Often we don't have the right answer. Sometimes our answers are skewed by our upbringing, by our wrong choices, by just things people have told us and we've imbibed those ideas rather than your ideas. But you keep asking the questions so that, Lord, we will own up to our responsibility. First of all, to respect you as our grand inquisitor, as Lord, our wonderful lover who wants to know if we are staying on track. God, help us to stay on track with you. Thank you for asking these questions. And Lord, as we think about this big question, what are we doing with our life right now in our lives? Lord, help us to answer that question properly, because we do need your help. We need the help of our teacher, our comforter, our guide, and empower the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.